I hated the
I
school.
really feel that I was free.
We had an ugly school. It was all made of the tongue.
To do what I want, to choose which career I want to attend, and that for me it was really important.
Inside Education, exploring different European stories.
I am Ana Sofia Ramada from the capital of Portugal, Lisbon. I was born in 19 of May of 1980, and my degree it is psychology.
I was born in 1991, in June of 1991, in a small town called Kendal in the county of Cumbria, which is in the northwest of England.
I'm Karin, I'm from Germany and I'm 48 years old.
Hello, my name is Gloria. I said I'm 17 from Bulgaria. I study in a high school in Veliko Tarnovo, the former capital of Bulgaria. It is a high school of math and nature studies, which means that I get more math classes than most students do. My other primary subjects are computer sciences and German.
Hello, I'm Joel. I'm from Luxembourg and I'm 25 years old.
Well, everyone in England, well, the UK, goes through primary and secondary school. When you come to year 11 in secondary school, you have the choice to either go to sixth form, which is an extra 2 years of classes, or you can go to college and study a specific subject. And I chose college. I did that for 2 years, studying IT. At my local college.
In the agronomical high school, they showed us how to make a flower bouquet. So that was very boring for me. I had this idea to go to this high school, but then we went to the bigger high school, the Gymnasium in German, and there were computers, and we were making some sort of paper, school paper. And that was so fascinating and that was so cool. I said, okay, I want to go to this school.
I hated the school with all the grades and marks. And I wasn't so good at school. And my best girlfriend, she was much better. And I remember at the first class, the people with the grade one, what is the best one, they were allowed to stand up at the table and the others on the chair and the bad ones on the floor. And I had always to stand on the floor and my girlfriend on the table. And she didn't want to stay on the table because she was afraid of falling down, but she had to.
In Portugal, we have lived over 60 years of a dictatorship regime, and then it was a boom, you know, April 25 April of 1974, huge revolution, using no wars, no weapons, you know, just the system changed and democracy was really there. In my life, I was growing up as a child and then an adolescent teenager. I really feel that I was free to do what I want, to choose which career I want to attend, and that for me it was really important.
In 2009, I started studying in Vienna. And so I knew Vienna, and I knew I had to study something with environmental or forestry in it, because it was not a normal high school degree, but a degree with some conditions. Then I found this university, the University of Applied Life Science, Universität für Bodenkultur in German, and thought, wow, that sounds interesting. Maybe they have not only forestry, but they have some other cool studies, and I discovered my study and I said, okay, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. And it's far, far away from Luxembourg. I wanted to get out of Luxembourg, so that's why I chose Vienna.
Going to university, it was a big impact. I was the first person in my the first generation to finish a university degree. My parents, for instance, they only finishing high school, and then my grandfather, he didn't have the opportunity to study. He barely read or write, as well as my grandmother. So I would say that the revolution of the beginning of democracy in Portugal was really important because of that. Allow people to choose, to have the freedom to choose if they want just finishing high school or just going to university.
Well, once I graduated, I wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. I felt confident I didn't want to go to university and study IT. So after that I had some free time, and then I found out about some local volunteer work going on, and I took part in that.
And I learned a lot of the other people with whom I was living together. Someone showed me how to cook very good things, someone showed me how I could do it better with my children. The other one showed me how to decorate the house nice and so.
I only live with my mother. My father is actually a teacher, but he's only helped me once, I think. I wanted to study English, and he wrote every single letter of the alphabet and a word from it. And he said, oh, I'm helping you, and so on. He repeated that for years. So I haven't gotten any help from him. My mother had this policy where if I had a problem, I'd have to first read the question again, then I'd have to think about it again, then I'd have to do something else for at least 10 minutes, then I'd have to return to the problem, think about it again, read it again, think about it for the last time, and then if I still didn't understand it, I should go to her.
If I have a recipe, I would put together formal and no formal learning, because I think it's important, you know, because formal, of course, you get a certificate that you need to present when you enter to the labor market. But with no formal learning, you develop yourself as a person, who is really important nowadays, because I believe that in the near future, personal skills, the way you see yourself, is one of the most important things. And using no formal learning, it's essential to life, I would say.
It's probably about even, because school has taught me all the things I mostly know, but the informal things I've done with, like, my volunteering, they've taught me things that I didn't learn in school, which have helped me further in life with just being with people and talking. So on the whole, it's probably about the same, I'd say.
Normally, the people that are doing these courses or that are doing things that count as non-formal education, they are very motivated because they are passionate about their topic. And that's one thing I found in my last secondary school. The people were passionate about their topic.
Absolutely. I really love it because of the stuff we do. It's programs with people about 10 to 12 people in each group that we work with, and we go out to East European countries and do work at kindergartens and orphanages, and it can be really good, really uplifting to be that helpful in life.
I think that if you want to do something really by heart, then it isn't difficult to do it.
I think it's helped a lot overall with just improving myself as a person. The volunteering company that I was part of, not only just gives you some work to do, it also is a personal building experience. They teach things like communication skills and confidence, working in teams, and that really helps. Because of that, I feel I've become a better person with my confidence, because usually I'd be a very shy, quiet person, keep to myself. Now I'm very comfortable being around others and talking to new people about random things, which is something I probably wouldn't have done a few years ago.
I just learn if I'm interested in something, then I'm learning much more, much faster, much better than someone is telling me, learn this, do this.
I have in my heart that I would like to work with people. I'm really not sure in which field, but I chose psychology basically because it was a course that allows me to work with people and allows me to understand as well their behavior.
Overall, I think I did well in school, well enough to advance in life, and even still, I feel I still have the opportunity to go to university and study. I feel I might do photography or some sort of media-based program.
Where can I help? I want to help. I want to join the protest. Please tell me where I have to go. And then she said, yeah, you know, this in this building at the university, we're having our first meeting there. And so I joined them. Okay, let's give them the feeling we have every day. Let's give them the feeling of a very, very crowded lecture hall.
It is one of the reasons why I think Bulgarians don't speak up as much and we don't have as much protests as, say, in France or Greece, because we have been taught that from a very young age.
So we managed to get many, many, many people. So it was like a little room already because it was not open like it was normally, and we managed to get very, very many people in there, and so it was really crowded, and there were people sitting on. Students sitting on the floor, and Johannes Hahn, of course, he was sitting in the first row because he had to deliver a speech and he had to step over the students to get to the stage.
It's a funny story. One day, I go to my email, and then I have an email who I didn't know who sent me. You know, it was anonymous. And then when it opened, I have an email from an NGO that we are looking for 30 girls to develop a mentorship project, as well as you as a participant, you have to develop a project using again no formal learning about gender issues. And then I think it is wonderful. Let's go in, and I was chosen.
When I was in Freiburg, I actually made the women radio there, and there were about 8 women, and they taught me everything. And for me, it was so easy to learn there because it were women. So I saw, okay, they are doing the techniques, I can do it as well. They took me the fear for being in the radio, speaking in the microphone and working on the radio. And it was so nice to discuss everything before broadcasting.
It changed my life because it allowed me, not first time, but spending time with girls who has the same interest as me, especially in politics, especially being really active about what is going on in our society, what as a girl or as a woman, what do you think that you have lost because of these gender equality issues?
We have a school, it's called Freie Schule, Free School, and the children can learn what they really want to learn. And it's amazing what they are learning. It's so much better than the educational system I went through and my children went through. If I had another child, I would bring it there, definitely.